Gevach to everybody. As we often like to do, I like to look at a theme in the parsha or to bring out a certain understanding that sort of takes us through parshas HaShavua. Parshas Bahar B'Chukosai are very often read together. It's not uncommon, three parshas Bahar B'Chukosai together. But I'd like to start by taking a look at parshas Bahar and at a broad glance and at a general overview of the parsha. It seems to be very disparate. It seems to be like an amalgam of many, many different ideas, halachas, mitzvahs, asei, los asei. There doesn't seem to be necessarily a common denominator between the parsha. And of course, as we've pointed out often, the Rishonim, Rashi specifically, often asks, lama nismecha parsha zu la parsha zu? Meaning, what's the juxtaposition from one section of a parsha to another section of a parsha? Specifically, when it comes to mitzvahs, Rashi often wants to understand why the Torah juxtaposes pasuk to pasuk. So what I'd like to do is to take a look at a broader picture of Parshas Bahar. First, to take a look at what happens in the parsha, and then go back piecemeal and try to understand what the Torah is trying to tell us in terms of Parshas Bahar. What is the yesod? What is the foundation? What's the fundamental of Parshas Bahar? So if you take a look and using the Stone Chumash, it begins on page 696. And Parshas Bahar, of course, always begins with the discussion of the halachas and the mitzvah of Shemitah. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor, Perek Chafei Pasuk Aleph, Dabro b'nei Yisov imarat alem ki savo la'aretz asher anino sein lachem v'shov su ha'aretz shabos lashem. So the seventh year should be the sabbatical year, the agricultural system that we are very, very comfortable with and very much used to, both certainly in biblical times, even today in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, the Shemitah has a very, very powerful, important, impactful role. It is coming up in Mirtz Hashem this coming year. So Shemitah is a mitzvah, asei diraisa, a positive commandment, certainly when the majority of Klal Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah tells us about the laws of Shemitah and begins by telling us in Pasuk, Gimel sheish shanim tizus adecha, v'sheish shanim tizmor karmecha, v'yasaftis tuasa. 6 years you'll sow, you'll plant, you'll harvest, you'll work your field as you always do for the series of 6 years. However, u'bashan hashvi'is, on the seventh year, Shabbos shabbason hi ala aretz, Shabbos lahashem, sadecha lo sizra, v'charmecha lo sizmor. However, in the seventh year, just like every 6 days of the week we work, we accomplish, we have goals, we're productive. On the seventh day we rest, that's the day of Shabbos. So just like during the week, in time, we have something called the Shabbos. So to in place in Eretz Yisrael, for 6 years you will work the land, you will harvest the field, you will sow, etc., etc. But on year seven becomes the year of Shemitah. That is the year that the land rests fallow. That's a land that you don't sow, you don't plant, you don't harvest, you don't touch it. You let it grow, you let it sit. So the introduction to Parshas Bahar, Perek Chafei, certainly the first 7-8 psukim, deals with the mitzvah of Shemitah. And by no coincidence, the transition in Perek Ches is the Yovel. And Torah tells us in Pasuk Ches, v'sefarta l'cha sheva shabbos shanim. Not only do you have a 7-year count, for 6 years you work the field on the seventh you rest, however, there's also a 49-year count. And of course, this is very reminiscent of the 49th count of the Sfiras HaOmer, which we find ourselves in, and you'll see momentarily there's certainly a very strong correlation and connection between those two counts. And the Torah tells us, the Sefarta Chasheva Shabbos Shanim, you're going to count for a 7-year cycle, times seven. Sheva Pelmim, 7 times, for a total of 49 years. Sheva Shabbos Shanim Teisha V'Arbaim Shana. So you have a 49-year schedule, not just a 7-year schedule, but a 7-year schedule times seven, which brings us to 49. And the significance of the 49-year cycle is the following pasuk: Ve'havarta shofar truah b'chodesh hashvi'i be'esor l'chodesh, on the 10th day of the 7th month. That, of course, is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur of the 50th year is a very significant day, not just because it's Yom Kippur, but b'zman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, when Rov Bnei Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, what would happen? The shofar not only would be blown on Rosh Hashanah, but the shofar would be blown on Yom Kippur. And what would the shofar blowing on Yom Kippur call or stand for? That the Yovel year was coming. B'yom HaKippurim taviru shofar b'chol Arzachem. On the 50th year, you will call out, you will blow the shofar. And what happens on year 50? V'kidashtem eshnas hachamishim. The 50th year becomes sanctified. U'krasim dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. Yovel hitia lechem v'shavtem ish elachuzoso ve'el ish al mishpachto yoshtashuvu. So not only is Yovel significant in the same respect to Shemitah, that the land sits fallow, and it's not touched, and nothing is planted, and nothing is sown. But more than that, all slaves go free. And that takes place, as the Pasuk says, U'krasim dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. Everybody goes free. There's a new beginning, a new start. Even if a slave was taken year 47, 48, or 49, year 50, the slave goes free. And that's what the Torah tells us in Pasuk Yud Aleph, page 698. Yovel hi shnas hachamishim shana, and the 50th year will be Yovel, lo sizru, v'lo siktsura sefiche, v'lo sivtsura es nizirea, ki yovel hi kodesh yelachem in asada tochlas tvasa. So here you have it, year 50 is the Yovel year. So very, very similar, and very, very naturally, the laws, the halachas, the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel are brought together, both having to do with agriculture, both critical in the respect that years 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49 are years of Shemitah. Year 50 is the year of Yovel. The categorical distinction from a halachic context is that year 50, the slaves go free, as opposed to year 7, 14, they do not. And as we will note momentarily, there's another critical distinction between Shemitah and Yovel, but I'm going to leave that until we come back momentarily. So, the beginning of Parshas Bahar deals with the laws of Shemitah, and then it deals with the Yovel. But now take a look, Pasuk Yudalad. And that's where things begin to get quite curious. Pasuk Yudalad throws in a mitzvah, a lo sase, a negative commandment that does not seem to have anything at all to do with Shemitah or the Yovel, but rather has to do with finances. Take a look, Pasuk Yudalad. A halach and choshen mishpat, and the laws of financial rulings of the Torah. Chisimkru mimkor lamisecha. Okana miyad amisecha. Altonu ish es achiv. When you sell something, when you purchase something, miyad liyad, from hand to hand, the Torah tells us, altonu ish es achiv. You are prohibited from grieving or for any form of financial abuse. That's an issur d'oraisa. You can't take advantage of another Jew. You can't sell something that is inappropriate. You can't wrong somebody financially. You can't do something to somebody else when it comes to the world of mammonis, when it comes to the world of finances, inappropriately. And this is a halacha paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that it's a wrong thing to do. And not only is it a wrong thing to do, but it's a lav. It's an issur d'oraisa to do that. Now Rashi tells us there's another rule. There's another halacha. There's another mitzvah, and that is, the Torah tells us, you take a look in the second column on page 698 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, Rashi tells us, V'chisim krumi mimikor la'amitecha. What's this pasuk telling us? Mechor. Uminayin shimbasa liknos kenei miyisrael chavercha. Okana miyara misecha. The Torah tells us that there's a special halacha, a special mitzvah, to purchase something from another Jew, to buy something from another Jew. If you're selling something, sell it first, or give the opportunity first to another Jew to buy it. Now, this mitzvah is quoted from the Sifri. The Sifri darshans the pasuk as such. It's not brought in Shulchan Aruch. Nowhere in Shulchan Aruch does it say you have to buy from Shalom's before you buy from Costco. It doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch. But the Sifri that Rashi is quoting tells us that there's a mitzvah to purchase from a Jew, from a Jewish company, a Jewish business, a Jewish owner, to support our brothers and our sisters. To, if you're selling something and you only have a certain amount of wares to sell, you should first sell to your Jewish friend, your Jewish neighbor, your Jewish family member, etc. So here this pasuk tells us the laws of financial matter. You're just talking about my new book. I actually have a chapter talks about the halachas, the mitzvah, and how do you understand and when it applies, how it applies, etc. Purchasing from Jews, when, how, where, and how far does one have to go to do that? If it takes you longer to get there, if it's going to cost you more, if it's more complicated, How much does the Torah and the rabbis require you to fulfill this commandment? As I pointed out, it's not a mitzvah, it's not a halacha that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. But for our circumstances, what's interesting to note, and what's surprising, what's curious, and what we're asking, is what does this pasuk have to do with Shemitah and Yovel? Why is it in this section of Shemitah and Yovel? And to make the question even stronger, if you take a look in the next pasuk gets right back to the laws of Shemitah. The Torah tells us, "B'mispar shanim achar hayovel, tikne meis amisecha, b'mispar shnei tvuos yimachar lach." Do you know how much you should sell, purchase, and buy something for when it comes to laws of real estate or agriculture? It depends where you are in terms of the Shemitah and Yovel cycle. You're not going to charge somebody the same amount for a field if it's in year 49 or if it's in year 2. Because the difference in price is going to be dramatic, because in year 50 the land goes back, and in year 7 the land sits fallow. So therefore, you have to know how much you're selling the agriculture for. So all of a sudden, in the midst and in the middle of the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, we throw in this rule of financial appropriateness, which has nothing to do specifically with real estate. It has to do with the broader sense of financial agreement and financial understanding and being a good and honest and fair broker and business person, because the rules of business have to be true not only in Eretz Yisrael, not only when the Mikdash was in standing, but in all circumstances and at all times. And now continuing, the Torah tells us another pasuk and another Issur D'oraisa that seemingly also is disjointed, does not have to do with the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. Pasuk Yud Zayin 17, page 698. Lo sonu ish es amiso, v'yareisa melokecha, k'ani Hashem elokecha. This was the pasuk that we spoke about yesterday at the drasha on Shabbos. The Torah understands, and Chazal understands, the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia understands, that this pasuk lo sonu, and if you take a closer look in pasuk Yudalid, which we just read, also said al tonu ish es achiv. This pasuk says lo sonu ish as amisa. So these two psukim are identical. What's the difference between pasuk tesvav and pasuk yudzayin? They say the same exact thing. Pasuk yudalid, which we just read, the Torah tells us al tonu ish es achim. You shouldn't aggrieve, abuse, bother your friend, your neighbor, your brother. And now all of a sudden pasuk yudzayin says the exact same thing. Lo sonu ish es amiso. Amiso and achiv are the same word. Your friend, your brother, your colleague, your neighbor, your Jew, you shouldn't aggrieve, you shouldn't abuse, you shouldn't bother. So what's the difference between Pasuk Yud Dalid and Pasuk Yud Zayin? Both say Lo Sonu. So the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Ches Amibes, or Nun Ches Amibes, tells us there's two types of ways that you could aggrieve a fellow. One is financially, and one is verbally. So the first Pasuk Yud Dalid, is talking about financial abuse. Financially aggrieving somebody, selling somebody something that's a high price when it really should be a lower price, taking advantage of somebody in business, wronging somebody in financial matters. Pasuk Yud Zayin is wronging somebody verbally, speaking inappropriately to somebody, being a nudnik, calling somebody a nickname that they don't like, telling somebody, remember the way you used to behave before you were an observant Jew. I know that you're the child of a convert, and you do that to bother the person. Selling somebody something that is a financial wrong, that's the wrong price, that falls under the category of Pasuk Yudala, that's called Ona'as Mamon. If you're wronging somebody verbally, that's called Ona'as Dvarim, and that's Pasuk Yudzayin. Two different lavim, two different simanim in Shulchan Aruch, two different halachas, and two different ways that you could aggrieve or bother somebody. Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Perek Hazav, that it's worse to aggrieve somebody verbally than it is financially, for two reasons. Number one, if you look in the pasuk very carefully, pasuk Yudalit says, al tonu ish es achiv, and then finished. The pasuk is done. Then look in pasuk Yudzayin, lo sonu ish es amiso, the pasuk's not finished. So therefore the Gemara tells us, do you know why verbal abuse is worse than financial abuse? Because when it comes to verbal abuse, the Torah tells us, you better fear God. And therefore the fear of Hashem is juxtaposed to the negative commandment on us, as opposed to the law of So therefore, the Gemara understands that Vayareisam Elokecha Yishuvir Hashem, because it's placed in the pasuk of Ona'as Dvarim, proves that verbally abusing somebody is worse than financially abusing somebody. And therefore, the Gemara tells us it's worse because when you financially abuse somebody, you could be mochel. You could then say, you know, it's okay, I'll fix the problem. You're right, I wronged you. Or Beis Din could adjudicate, or you could make amends. You could take it back if I upcharged you, either accidentally or purposefully. You could fix that. If you lost $200, $2,000, $2 million on a deal, or whatever it is, you could make that up. You could fix that problem. When you verbally abuse somebody, you can never take that back. As much as you try, and as hard as you work to ask for mechila and to recover something, especially in the modern world, we're talking about social media, you say something about somebody, you write something about somebody, and hundreds and thousands and millions of people see it, you can never take that back. You could write, you could say, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, to take that back is close to impossible, and you should. Chas v'shalom, if somebody ever acted in such a way, you should try to take that back. But the difference between financially aggrieving and verbally aggrieve somebody is the difference between the sun and the moon. It's an incredibly powerful difference, and therefore, Ve'ereisam Elokecha, you should fear Hashem, is said in juxtaposition to verbal abuse, Ona'as Devarim, as opposed to Ona'as Mamon. So here you have these two lavim, Ona'as Mamon and Ona'as Devarim, right in the middle of Shemitah and Yovel. Seemingly have nothing at all to do with the mitzvah of Shemitah and the mitzvah of Yovel. What is financial abuse? And what is verbal abuse doing right smack in the middle of the lachas of Shemitah and Yovel? As you'll see again, keep on going in the next pasuk, right back to Shemitah. Take a look at the next pasuk, pasuk Yurches. Vasisim es chukosai, the last pasuk on page 698. If you treat the land properly, you keep the halachas of Shemitah and Yovel, you will sit and you will settle and you will dwell and you will be living securely in the land of Israel. And the Torah continues, page 700. V'nos naharetz pirya, v'achaltem lasova, v'yishavtem levetach aleha. Pasuk Yotes. You do what you are supposed to do. You follow the laws of the land. You keep Shemitah and Yovel. You will have bounty. You will have plenty to eat. You will be taken care of. You will sit securely in the land of Israel. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vitzivisi es birchasi. God says, I will command my blessings. In the sixth year, you'll have enough food. In the seventh year, you'll have enough food. In the ninth year, you'll have enough food. Don't worry. I will take care of you. Keep the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. Everything will be okay. So if you look in Perek Chavhei, which we are studying, from Pasuk Aleph, the beginning of Parshas Bahar, until Pasuk Chavdalit, all about Shemitah and Yovel. The Torah begins, Vaydaber Shem Moshe Lema Bahar Sinai Lemor, talking about year 7, 14, 21, 28, all the way to year 50, concludes Pasuk Chavdalit in Perek Chavhei, telling us you will sit firmly, securely in the land of Israel if you keep the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. And the question that we raise is, what are the laws, the losases, the negative commandments of Ona'as Dvarim and Ona'as Mamon, aggrieving financially and aggrieving somebody verbally, doing in the middle of the parsha of Shemitah and Yovel? A very strong question, a powerful question, an important question, as you will see, a question that's raised by Rashi and other Rishonim, as well as many, many classic Meforshei HaChumash. What is the lav of Ona'as Dvarim and Ona'as Mamon doing here? Question number one. Question number two. Let's continue Pasuk Chaf Hei. The Torah now tells us the rules of redemption of the land, redeeming the land. In the following circumstance, when a Jew becomes very, very poor, and he has no way to make ends meet, he can't support himself, what do? You sell your inheritance. You sell your property. You sell your real estate. That's all you can do. It's a very difficult predicament to be in. But the Torah tells us in Pasuk Chaf Hei, Chiyamuch Achicha, if your Jew, a pauper, your brother becomes so, so impoverished, Umacha me'achuzaso, that he's forced to sell part of his ancestral heritage, Uvagalo hakarov elav egalas emimkarechav, he's required to now, the brother, the closest in kin to the individual who is impoverished, is required to sell his ancestral heritage. His closest in kin should try to do whatever he can to try to redeem that property so he gets it back. And then the Torah tells us in Pasuk Chavav, let's say the individual who is so poor, impoverished, has nobody to redeem that property, that ancestral heritage of his. So you have to figure out a way to redeem it for that person so that he finds himself in a circumstance where he's able to receive his property in return. And the Torah tells us, Pasuk Chavches, Vim lo yatsa yado de hashim lo, if he can't find somebody to redeem that property. We're back to the Yovel year, the Jubilee. In the 50th year, returns to the individual. But you shouldn't ever, ever wait for the 50th year. A friend, a Jew, a family member should go out of his way to try to recover and recoup that property. So the pauper, the impoverished one, does not have to wait till the Yovel, till year 50 to redeem it. So again, we need to understand the juxtaposition of the redemption of the land to everything else that we're studying and we're learning in Parshas Bahar. Of course, on a basic level, it would seem to be connected to the Yovel. Just like we learned about the laws of Yovel till now, that slaves are returned in year 50. The land sits fallow in year 50. Maybe one could argue that the application of the redemption of the land by an impoverished person who was forced to sell his property, his land, also returns in year 50. That would seem to be the basic commonality and basic similarity and reason for the extension of this law. But now continues the Torah and tells us another law of redemption. Let's say a person has their house in a walled city. And again, the situation occurs that a person is unable to hold on to that property. The Torah goes on to tell us the halachas of going out of your way to try to redeem that home for the person who it belonged to, who he was forced to sell it. And if you're unable to do so, again, the same law applies in year 50, it goes back. That's what the Torah tells us here at the bottom of page 700. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Gula Tielo B'Yovel Yetzeh, in the 50th year, the home is returned to its proper owner. Now, on page 702, we continue, and the Torah tells us the following. V'chiyamuch achicha, Pasuk Lamed Hei, Pasuk 35, page 702. When your brother becomes impoverished, umato yado imach, v'hechezakta bo, ger v'soshe v'chai imach, a mitzvah d'araisa, v'hechezakta bo. Often we talk about the mitzvah of tzedaka, supporting, giving money to financially help somebody. The highest mitzvah, the most important mitzvah that one can do is to help somebody find a job that the person can be independently successful. That's this pasuk. Vehechezakta bo. You should find a way to support somebody, not by necessarily giving them money. Now, of course, most of the time, that's the simplest thing to do. That's the easiest thing to do. That's the way that we are able to help somebody make an impact. But vehechezakta bo, if you could find somebody a job, that's an incredible mitzvah. We have beautiful organizations today that try to do that. And we have individuals who try to find who other people network and to find them jobs. That it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, a positive commandment. V'chazakta bo, Rashi says, if you take a look, the last Rashi in the first column, Al tanicheu shiyer v'yipol, don't wait till a person is out, down and out. V'yakosha l'akima l'chazkeu mishas motas ayad. When you see somebody in such a difficult circumstance, in such a difficult predicament, about to lose a job or lost a job, help that person find a new job. And of course, we have to understand again, what is this doing here? Why are we talking about the mitzvah of tzedakah, the highest form of tzedakah? Giving somebody a job, finding, helping them find a parnasa, a livelihood, what is that doing here? And then in the next pasuk, juxtaposed, pasuk lamed vav, the laws of usury, ribis. This is a iser d'oraisa, a negative commandment for one Jew to charge another Jew interest. If you want to borrow $1, $100, $1,000, so you should try to do that, and you must do that, you're required to do that, as a free loan. Jews are prohibited from taking interest from other Jews, from a biblical perspective, from a rabbinic perspective. This is an issur d'oraisa, at times an issur d'rabbanan, depending upon the case and the situation. But that's why we have free loan societies, where a Jew can borrow money for free. There's no prohibition to charge a non-Jew interest. There's no prohibition for a non-Jew to charge a Jew interest. That's how most of our mortgages work. But when it comes to lending another Jew money, when that is a mitzvah d'oraisa to lend a Jew money for free, the Chafetz Chaim actually writes, in a Sefer Avos Chesed, one of the first things that a Jewish community should set up is a free loan society. We have, Baruch Hashem, in our shul, a gemach, that helps people who are in situations where they may need to borrow money to help them borrow money. That's a free loan society in the many, many Jewish communities, right? The Washington Free Loan Society, millions and millions and millions of dollars that they loan for free. You have to fill out a lot of paperwork and it's a big nuisance. But it is something that we have. The Chafetz Chaim writes, the most important thing when a community, when a shul begins, is to establish a free loan society to make sure that there are certain situations and times that come up that a Jew is in debt, that a Jew is impoverished, that a Jew is in a situation that they want to start a business, or whatever the circumstance may be, they need to make a wedding. So establishing a free loan society, a gemach, is something that's very, very important, because never, ever, whatsoever should one Jew be charging another Jew ribbis. That's why at times we've, in situations where there are large lending companies and a strong stockholders in the lending company are Jewish, that puts a Jew in a very difficult circumstance, since you're prohibited to lend from them. You may remember a few years back there was Quicken Loans out of Detroit, one of the largest lenders in the country was Jewish owned, and there was a lot of work that had to be done to get it to the point where they set up a Heter Iska, which is a shear for a different time in a different place. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was taken care of. But nonetheless, here you see the Isser D'Oraisa, the negative commandment, the negative prohibition, the transgression of ribbis, of taking interest from another Jew. And again, the question has to be asked, begs, what is the juxtaposition to the Isser D'Oraisa of ribbis? What's it doing in this parasha? How does it connect to Shemitah? How does it connect to Yovel? How does it connect to a Jew being down and out? How does it connect to the redemption of the land? All of these processes, these mitzvahs, these amalgam, and these psukim and parshios and mitzvahs have to be understood. This brings us toward the end of Parshas Behar. Two more parshios, two more sections, and hopefully we'll try to put this all into perspective. The Torah tells us that the most complicated, difficult thing, when a Jew becomes so impoverished, so poor, v'nim karlach, and the difficulty is that he's forced to sell himself as a slave. There's no other way that he could really make ends meet. He's in such difficult straits, such dire circumstances. As we all know, there's a concept of an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, a Jew who doesn't have enough money. The way that this Jew is going to be able to financially make it is selling himself as a slave. However, the Torah speaks to the slave owner and tells us about the importance of how to treat an Eved Ivri. And contrary to popular belief, the way that the Jew treated another Jewish slave was of the highest order. Lo savod bo avodas avod. You shouldn't treat him like a slave. You shouldn't treat him inappropriately, so much so that the Gemara tells us, if you only have one blanket or one pillow, you know who gets it? Not the owner, the slave gets it. If you only have enough coffee in the morning, who's going to get the coffee? You or the slave? You're not getting the cup of coffee. The slave's going to get the cup of coffee. Lo savor bo avodas avi. You shouldn't treat him like an eved. You have to treat him properly. The Gemara goes to great length in Maseches Kiddushin, at the end of the first parak, to describe how exactly to treat a Jewish slave. Kesachir kesoshav yemach. He should be like a laborer or like a resident. Atshnas hayovel yavud imach. And so much so that he's not yours in perpetuity. In year 50, he goes free. V'yatza imachu vanavimo. He goes with his family, his sons, his daughters. V'shavel mishpachto v'aluchuzas avosav yashav. He goes back to his home, to his ancestors, to his family. Why? The Torah tells us. Pasuk Mem Beis 42, page 704. Ki avadai heim. Only you are my slaves. A Jew can't make another Jew a slave. All Jews are my slaves. Ki avadai heim. Asher hotziesi osa mi'eretz Mitzrayim lo yimkiru mimkeres eved. From the time that slavery ended in Mitzrayim, no Jew is permitted to enslave another Jew for perpetuity. If a Jew is forced to sell himself because he needs money, so you treat him properly, but ultimately the Jew goes free in year 50. Make sure you take care of him. Pasuk Mem Gimel, don't treat him inappropriately. Don't work him too hard. You gotta fear Hashem. And the fear of Hashem is always juxtaposed to any time a person can take advantage of somebody else. Bein adam l'chaver, when you're not acting like a mensch, when you don't have the opportunity to treat somebody the way they're supposed to be treated, remember to fear Hashem. Now, the next parsha, Pasuk Mem Zayin 47, the most difficult, the most complicated, the most harrowing, the most embarrassing, the most traumatic situation is where a Jew has to sell himself to a non-Jew. And that's what the Torah concludes Parshas Bahar with. Pasuk Mem Zayin Chisasi Yad Ger V'Sosh V'Imach U'mach Achicha Imo. A Jew has become so impoverished, so poor. V'nim Kar L'Ger Tosh V'Imach U'le'ekem Mishpachas Ger. A Jew is sold to a non-Jew. The Torah tells us the halachas of what and how you deal in that circumstance. And again, the Torah tells us that this is the worst situation to be in. Because here, how are you going to keep the mitzvahs? How are you going to keep all the laws? You're so down and out. Not even a Jew will purchase you. But nonetheless, the halacha is that even a Jew who sold to a Evet, to a Kenani, to any of the Shiva Amamim, that Jew also goes free year number 50. The Yovel year also lets him out for free. And here we have, and this brings us to the end of Perek Chafei, chapter 25. Right, which takes us from the beginning of Parshas Bahar, from Shemitah, until the end of Pasuk Nun Hei. So it's a very long chapter, 55 psukim. It is one whole Parsha, right? So it's very rare that you have one Perek that takes us an entire Parsha. But Perek Chafei, chapter 25 of Sefer Vayikra, is all of Parshas Bahar, and it concludes by telling us, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim avadahem. You, Klal Yisrael, are my servants. Asher hotzeis yosam eretz Mitzrayim, ani Hashem Elokeichem. And Pasuk Perek Chavav, chapter 26, is two psukim in Parshas Bahar. But here's what we have to do. What is the connection between all of the rules, the mitzvos aseh and los aseh, that we have seen in Parshas Bahar and in Perek Chavay? When the Torah groups everything together, now again, of course, we know the division of the Parshios is not something that we have a Mesorah, that we Klal Yisrael, that the that Rabbanim established. It's not a separation that we establish. We work based upon Parshios, Psuchos, and Stumos, open and closed sections. But nonetheless, we're talking about 55 psukim in one chapter. It's very clear that the Torah is trying to tell us that there's a very strong correlation between the laws of Shemitah and Yovel and Avadim and Ribbis and free loan societies and Gemachim and making sure to give a Jew a business and a Parnasa. What is the correlation? What's the connection between each of these rules, each of these mitzvahs? I'd like to share with you two approaches to answer this question. The first is Rashi, and the second will be the approach of the Ravid. If you take a look at Rashi, page 706, Rashi asks this question. And if you could find Rashi is in the end of the first column, the second to last line, Rashi asks the question, Va'af HaParshios Halalu Nemra LaSeder. Rashi, as we know, is always answering questions. He doesn't tell you the question. You have to know the question. The question that Rashi is answering is, what is the correlation? What is the juxtaposition between the entirety of the Parsha which we just read? What's going on? Why is it Shemitah then Yovel? Why after, in the middle of Shemitah and Yovel, is the laws of Onas Dvarim and Onas Mamon? Why do we go from there, from the redemption of the land, of a house, in a walled city, to the redemption of property, from there to supporting a Jew, to giving a free loan, to the laws of neshech and tarbis, of usury, of interest, and from there to selling yourself as a eved to a Jew, and then selling yourself as an eved to a non-Jew? What's the correlation? What's going on here? It can't be random. It can't just simply be an amalgam of mitzvah saseh and lo saseh. So says Rashi, what is the correlation? What is the explanation? So Rashi says as follows. Bitchila hizir al hashvius. The beginning of the parasha teaches us the laws of Shemitah. However, v'im chamar mamon v'nechshar al hashvius, let's say you don't follow the laws of Shemitah. Let's say you're not careful, meticulous, scrupulous. You're not nizhar in the laws of Shvius. You don't keep the laws of Shemitah. You know what's going to happen, says Rashi? Sofo limkor mitaltalav. You're going to be punished. You think you're going to pull a fast one? You're going to work the land in year 7? Not so fast, says Rashi. If you work the land in year 7, if you sow the land, if you harvest, if you pluck and you pick, and you take and you work the land in year 7, the year Shemitah, when Hashem says no, you'll be punished. And that's why, says Rashi, Lekach samach la besimkuru mimikor. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be forced to sell your property. And therefore, the next pasuk comes to tell us the laws of Ona'as Dvarim. financial aggravation, financial abuse. You're going to be put in a situation where you'll be at a disadvantage. You'll be forced to sell your property. You'll be forced to sell your field. You'll be forced to sell your inheritance. You'll be forced to sell your apartment. There is a tit for a tat. There is a punishment for the crime. And if you don't keep the laws of Shemitah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're going to be forced to sell your property. Says Rashi, Sof mocher achuzaso. You'll be forced to be in such a difficult circumstance and situation and predicament, you'll be you have to sell your ancestral heritage. That's how bad it's going to be for you. Lo chazarbo. If you still continue to commit the crime, you still haven't figured out what you're doing. Sof mocher es beis, you'll be forced to sell your home. That's the next parsha. After you sell your field, you'll be forced to sell your home. Lo chazer bo, you still don't tshuva. Sof lo veberibis, you'll be forced to land with interest. Kol elu haachronos kashim in arishonos, it gets more and more difficult as the parsha goes on. If you don't keep Shemitah and Yovel, the first things you're going to be forced to sell, metaltalin, you'll be forced to sell your items. If you don't do that, you'll be forced to sell your property. If you don't do tshuva, you'll be forced to sell your ancestral inheritance. If you don't do that, you'll be forced to borrow money on interest. And it gets more and more difficult. Lo chazer bo sof mocher es atzma, it's going to get so bad, you're going to be forced to sell yourself as a slave. Lo chazer bo, if you still don't do tshuva, lo dayo li Yisrael, not only will you be sold to a Jew, you'll be sold to a non-Jew. Rashi quoting the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Chaf Amar Aleph. So Rashi understands the juxtaposition and the correlation in Parshas Behar Perek Chaf A is regarding punishment. The real focus of Parshas Behar, says Rashi, is Shemitah. The real focus of Parshas Behar, says Rashi, is Yovel. Keep the laws, keep the halachos, keep the mitzvos. Do what you are supposed to do. If you do, you will be successful. You will see bounty and blessing. But if not, lo aleinu chas v'shalom, it's going to become a destructive cycle. It's going to become a circumstance where you're going to get into a spiral and a downward spiral and a quick downward spiral. It's going to take you to a situation where you're going to have to borrow. You're going to have to sell. You're going to have to sell your property. You're going to have to sell your home. You're going to have to sell your real estate. You're going to have to sell your ancestral heritage. You're going to have to borrow money on interest. You're going to have to sell yourself, and you're going to have to sell yourself ultimately as a slave to a Jew and then to a non-Jew. Therefore, Rashi has explained to us, based upon the Gemara Kiddushin, what exactly is happening here in Perek Chafei, the juxtaposition, the correlation between all of the assays, the los assays, the mitzvos in Parshas Behar. That's the approach of Rashi. However, the Ravid has a different approach. And this I saw in the late Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, the pre-war Mashkiach, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, in his Sefer Das Torah, quotes a Ravid. The Ravid in Balei HaNefesh, a classic work of the Rishonim, has a whole different approach, an entirely different approach to explain Parshas Behar. And the Ravid explains as follows, based upon the commentary of Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz. And he says the following thing. You know, the purpose of mitzvos, the purpose of a Jew's role in this world, is to create a very deep and meaningful connection with God. And the purpose of the mitzvos is to establish that correlation. A mitzvah is that there means that there's a mitzaveh and a mitzuveh. There's a commander and a commandee. Mitzvos connect us to HaKadosh Baruch in a very real and in a very serious way. Because often human beings, the way we go through life is we see ourselves as an independent person, independent people. We're strong, we're powerful, we're innovative, we're creative. Kochi ve'otzem yadi. I am the one who has created my destiny. I am the one who has been successful. I built my home. I built my land. I built my business. And very often we don't see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the hand in every single thing that we do. Therefore comes Parshas Behar to tell us, slow down. Realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu has full control over absolutely every single thing that we do, especially when it comes to finance. Because when it comes to finance, we often see ourselves as the masters of our destiny, and we often get in trouble because we see ourselves in a unique circumstance where we run the show. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's for shul. That's for the Beis Medrash. That's for a special place. When it comes to the world at large, when it comes to our business and our finances, we see that as being separate. And therefore the Torah comes to tell us, you think you were successful in building the land, in successfully harvesting and sowing, creating. It's not so fast. Every 7 years you're going to stop. You're going to slow down. And I'm going to show you that I am in control of the land. I am control of the agriculture. Hazorim bedima berina yiktzaru. Really, those who are faithful are the ones who sow and who plant. The agriculturists, those farmers are the ones who really believe, because they know that the way that the field works. They know that when the rain comes, it's all in the hands of Hashem. And therefore, God reminds us every 7 years, stop. And what do we call that? Shabbos. Just like there's Shabbos in the week, there's Shabbos in the years. And just like there's Shabbos on every 6 day and the 7th day we rest, so too in the world, that's the same thing is true in Eretz Yisrael. Every 6 years we work, but on the 7th year we stop. Kadosh Baruch has to remind us on a weekly basis and on a 49-year cycle that we are not the masters of our own destiny, but rather a Kadosh Baruch who controls, runs, and we work in tandem. And when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives and in the financial success that we have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're going to ask, what are you going to eat in the 7th year? How are you going to make it? Hashem says, trust me. Vitzivisi esbirchasi, I will send my blessings. But if you keep the halachas, you keep the mitzvahs of Shemitah and Yovel, you will see enormous amount of success, enormous amount of bounty. You'll see tremendous bracha. And you speak to the Shomrei Shvias, even at Ayom Hazeh. You'll see the blessings and the brachos, the stories, the nisim, the miracles that have occurred. We talk from here till next Shemitah. And farmers will tell you, not farmers with long payas and long beards. Farmers who don't even wear a yarmulke will tell us the stories that are abound about what it means to keep Shemitah and how keeping the halachas of Shemitah, the mitzvah of Shemitah, has brought them success and has brought them bounty. And therefore, Parshas Bahar, the mitzvah of Shemitah, the mitzvah of Yovel, is coming to stress one very basic point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, slow down, wait, I am running the show. And if you keep what you are supposed to do, and you're able to find a balance and a commonality in everything that takes place, you will see the success and the brachas that you are coming from. And it's for that reason that the next thing, the next mitzvah that's brought is Ona'as Dvarim and Ona'as Mamon. A person often will aggrieve, will bother, will abuse somebody else because I think I'm in control. I could fool you. I could trick you financially. I can overcharge you. I can sell you a broken item. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't do that. You don't have any choice in that matter. It's up to me. Don't think that you are the master of your own destiny when it comes to financial decisions or when it comes to verbal decisions. Don't take advantage of somebody else. Don't forget who you are. You're a human being. You're a person. But you are not God. And therefore, watch the way you talk. Watch the way you speak. Everything belongs to me. I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You are but a individual, a mortal, who is in this world for a certain amount of time. Don't abuse others. Don't take advantage of others. Not financially, not verbally. And therefore, the next two parshios in the Torah continue this very same theme. And that is that everything returns to its rightful ownership in year 50. Even a house that's forced to be sold, and even property, real estate, that's forced to be sold. You know what happens? In the 50th year, it goes back to its rightful owner. Because at the end of the day, everything that you have is not yours. Everything that you have is mine. Everything that you have belongs to me. And it's for that reason that the Torah tells us, even you're in such a situation where you're forced to sell your real estate, you're forced to sell your ancestral inheritance, you're forced to sell your home. At the end of the day, there's no such thing as selling anything, that it belongs to the seller, to the buyer, because in year 50, it goes back to me. I am in charge. That's Shemitah, and that's Yovel. That's the same exact thing when it comes to the Isser of Ribbis. You think that you could charge another Jew interest and you're going to make money? You're not going to make money. It doesn't work like that. You have to work with my laws, my code of Jewish conduct, my halachas, my shulchan aruch, my philosophy. And therefore the Torah tells us that to charge another Jew interest, you think you're going to make money like that? You're not going to make money like that. You're not going to be successful. You're not going to see more bracha and atzlacha like that. That's not the way to go. And the same thing is true. That's why you lend another Jew for free. That's why you should help support another Jew and find him a job. And that's the same thing that's true, that even somebody who sells himself as a Eved, even somebody who sells himself to a Jew or to a non-Jew, at the end of the day, comes Yovel, you can never be sold to another Jew. No Jew can take you forever, and you can't be sold or purchased forever. Year 50, it all goes back. Don't think that you control another Jew. Don't think that you could buy another Jew. Even if a Jew is forced to sell himself as an Eved, comes year 50, and that Jew is returned back to his home, back to his place, back with his family, back with his sons, back with his daughters, back with his spouse. No Jew can take another advantage of another Jew. And thus, that is Parshas Bahar according to the Ravid. So as opposed to Rashi, who explains the correlation, the juxtaposition of Parshas Bahar in respect to punishment, that if you don't keep Shemitah, then one thing will lead to another. You'll get in bigger trouble and in bigger trouble, worse and worse. Kasha achronos min arishonos, like Rashi says. You'll be in such bad straits, such bad circumstances. You don't do tshuva, ultimately you'll be sold to a Eved, to a Kenani. That's how bad it's going to be if you don't keep Shemitah. That's Rashi's approach, is that the correlation is vis-a-vis punishment. The Ravid's approach is drastically and categorically different. The Ravid's approach to Perek Chafei, chapter 25 of Vayikra, Parshas Bahar, is that the common denominator between all of the mitzvos ase and lo ase, Shemitah and Yovel, Neshech, Ribis, Gmach, loaning, lending for free, giving a Jew a job, selling yourself as a slave to a Jew or as to a non-Jew, is teaching us one very basic principle, one fundamental concept, and that is recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything, and that no Jew is in control. You can't purchase somebody forever, you can't buy something forever, you can't cheat somebody in business, you can't abuse somebody, you can't take interest from somebody else, because at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us that the running of the Jew, of the show, the way that the world works, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top. Shemitah teaches us that. Yovel teaches us that. Shabbos teaches us that. And we have to be reminded of that over and over and over again, not just philosophically, not just academically, but practically and halachically. And that's the backbone that's behind the mitzvos, the correlation, the juxtaposition, the read in Parshas Bahar. And of course, as you move to Parshas Bechukosai, the brachos and the klalos certainly exemplify this and certainly exclaim in no uncertain terms that you want blessings and not curses, you want brachos and not klalos, Tishmeras mitzvos, I follow my laws. The blessings and the success, the bounty, the agricultural success, the rain, the food, the sustenance. Do you know why you're going to have it? Not because you're charging somebody more. Not just because you're charging somebody ribbis. Not because you have more and more avadim. It's going to become because you're doing what you're supposed to do. And that's the reason why every single day in Shema, three times a day, we read the second chapter. V'haya im shamoa tishmo mitzvosai ashanochi mitzavei asachem. The second chapter of Shema is all about reward and punishment. You want to see good, you want to see success. Do you want a physical success? Hayam shamoa tishmo mitzvosai. However, mlosishmu, if you don't listen to my commandments, you don't follow my ways, you're not treating other Jews properly, you're not treating other people appropriately, financially or verbally, you're not going to have the rain, you're not going to have the sustenance, you're not going to have what you need. So thus, the Ravid, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, is telling us that this is the correlation, this is the meaning in Parshas Bahar, and this is the way we are supposed to appreciate and understand the correlation of the mitzvos of Parshas Bahar, either according to Rashi or according to the Ravid. That is Parshas Bahar. Wishing everybody a wonderful week, and Amir Tzashem, we will...